You're listening to Cast version of Unnecessary Roughness from LVSportsNetwork.com, brought to you by Porta Subs.
Milrow scans the field to the end zone, and it's caught. Jermaine Burton, touchdown Alabama, 12-1. They're perfect against Georgia in SEC championship games.
You're listening to Unnecessary Roughness, live at the Underground Lounge inside the Oyo Hotel and Casino.
That's what Alabama said. Can I get a what after they were put in there as a number four team in the college football playoffs? I know a lot of folks did not take that news too happily, but, I mean, it is what it is. Bama's in. You knew they weren't going to leave an SEC team out. They won the SEC championship by knocking off the number one team in the country. And, of course, next year you won't have to worry about it, where there'll be 12 teams in the playoffs, and then team number 13 will be angry. But we are here at the Underground Lounge inside the Oyo Hotel and Casinos. We are every single Monday from Monday Night Football. And let's get into some football conversation with our guy EJ Snyder from Bootleg Football. He joins us now. And EJ, thanks so much for your time. Glad to have you on the show again. And I really caught the YouTube that you had out about football and NFL purgatory and what it meant to be in it and how you can get out of it. And one, I was fascinated by it. I thought you guys did a really good job on it. But How bad is that no man's land when you're in that kind of middle realm where you're not bad enough to pick early and you're not good enough to make a playoff run?
Depending on who's running your team, it can be a tough thing to get out of because you get stuck and you get, I don't want to say complacent, but you get used to being around 500. You get used to having draft picks in the middle of the first round, and teams either get desperate and package a bunch of picks to move up, and if they miss, that can throw you down to the bottom and out of the middle, and if you hit, it's something that can pull you to the top, but it is a tricky business.
Isn't that similar to what it looks like Carolina may have done with them pulling the trigger on going to number one and getting Bryce Young, and obviously it's early in the process, but hasn't worked out yet?
Yeah, a lot of things haven't worked out in Carolina, which really sort of muddies up that where are we and what did we do and what do we really need to fix first? Because a team like Carolina, where there's a lot of problems and everything has looked pretty bad, it can be difficult. It can be daunting for general managers to take a look and say, all right, what do I need to do first? Because I have limited assets in free agency. In Carolina's case, even more limited assets in the draft because of what they did to go get Bryce Young. He definitely hasn't looked the part yet, but he also has had some of the least help in the entire league. So is it the chicken or the egg? It's tough to tell. And they've got their work cut out for him in Carolina.
Yeah, they really do. And, again, limited assets to go ahead and build around. And so the other team in the league that fired their coach early on, matter of fact, the first team to fire their coach, were the Raiders when they fired Josh McDaniels, and Antonio Pierce has taken over as the interim coach. What have you thought about what AP's been able to do the first four games that he's had under his belt as the coach?
The difference has been really stark, and I think everybody around the league has seen that. We all saw the locker room scenes and players celebrating, looking like, you know, they just got let out of NFL jail in terms of being free, being able to be themselves, and going out and performing on the field in a much more cohesive and looser manner. And that's kept them in every game since. And that's a huge change. I think that's what a team like Carolina is hoping for, is that a coaching change, you know, maybe not their interim coach, a little right. bit of a different situation, but certainly next year we'll fire them up and allow, you know, talented players on their team because, let's be honest, every team in the NFL has talent on the roster. You know, you need to be able to use it. Raiders weren't doing that. AP seems to have sort of unlocked that, and that's a huge thing for Las Vegas going forward.
Again, EJ Snyder, Bootleg Football, is our guest here on Raider Nation Radio 920, Unnecessary Roughness. So when you look at the Raiders and their roster, starting with their talent at the quarterback position, Aiden O'Connell, I know you guys on the show are big fans of Aiden O'Connell. When you see him and seeing his body of work so far, and there's still five games left to go this season, what have you seen from him? Is he a guy that this team could potentially build around for the short term and long term?
That's a terrific question. It's the one they're going to have to answer, and their answer might be different than mine. But let's just take a look at the last month, because when you're not the full-time starter, you're not getting reps with the one. So people might look at Aiden O'Connell's earlier appearances and sort of lump them in with his more recent work, and I think that's a mistake. We should probably just look at the last month since he was anointed the starter, since he's been the leader of the team. And if you look at yards, he's 16th in the league in that time. He's only 1 yard behind Mahomes, interestingly enough. In TDs, he's tied for 20th. Interceptions, he's tied for sixth, and that's sixth most. That's not great. Only six sacks, tied for 26th. That's least. That's good. That's low. And in terms of straight completion percentage, 63%, which puts him right in the middle of the pack at 14th. So when you look at the sort of what I'll just call the top-level stats, it's a pretty average picture. It's fine. You know, he's a rookie starter. But when you go into the advanced stats, I think you start to see some things that are more interesting. In terms of big-time throws, which is the stat that PFF measures, he's tied for 15th for turnover-worthy plays. He's also tied for 15th. In terms of turnover-worthy plays, in terms of percentage, for all the throws he's had, he's only 2.9%. And that's 23rd. That's good. That's low. Strangely enough, he's only had four of those, and he's had four interceptions in that time. So he's gotten pretty unlucky. When the defense has had the chance, they've picked it off. That doesn't usually happen at that higher rate. In terms of average depth of target, he's 17th. He's average time to throw, which is usually a little bit more for rookies learning the pocket in the NFL, is 2.52 seconds. That's fifth fastest in the NFL in the last month. So we're seeing some good things from him. And when you look at the adjusted completion percentage, which takes out things like drops and throwaways and all that stuff, he's ninth in the league. He's top 10 at 76.1% adjusted completion percentage. So I think there's enough early signals from a guy like Aiden O'Connell that he is pushing the ball down the field. He is understanding the offense. We're seeing growth. I wouldn't be surprised if the Raiders run it back with him next year, put some more pieces around him, and say that's the way they want to go for next year, and they'll spend their assets to build the rest of the team.
Would that be a result of what we're kind of talking about with the NFL purgatory, where they're in the middle of the pack, so even if they wanted to go and get a hotshot quarterback that's going to be at the top, that they really aren't in the position to go do that?
Well, given the city you're in, I'll use the metaphor. It's a roll of the dice with the quarterback. Even if you do get that hotshot top quarterback, they only pan out at about a 50% rate. So if you think you've got a guy in the building that is working hard, making progress, fits in with the team, and is, you know, able to leverage your other talent, like we talked about earlier on, that's a guy you're probably going to stick with. So, and it allows you to use all those other assets, free agency dollars and draft picks, to sort of build around him and say, hey, we'll take the bird in the hand here. We'll take the guy we know and run with him and see if we can get it done that way.
So when you look at the Raiders and their roster and you know the talent that they have, especially the big-time names, when you look at Devontae, you look at Jacoby, Josh Jacobs, obviously he's on a one-year deal, but potentially he could come back as well. Where do you think the Raiders need to concentrate? If it's not the quarterback position, where do they need to concentrate to take that next step?
That's a great question, Q. And I really think it's a wide receiver to pair with Devontae who can separate. They have complementary wide receivers. They don't have other threat wide receivers in the building right now. And that's starting to become almost mandatory in the NFL. You can't just have one. You need more than one. They don't have it. It's the same thing when you flip it over to defense. Max Crosby, really the heart and soul of this team, but he is doing it pretty much alone. So you need some more pass rush on that line. Could be interior, could be another edge rusher. Don't really care where it comes from, but you need some to take some of that load off him. They could use an outside corner or two. They're not super strong there. And, of course, when you're looking at how you win in the NFL, how you score points, right now it's the passing game. And, of course, on defense, that means stopping the passing game. Raiders are going to struggle there. Again, I think rush comes first and coverage comes next. And then you mentioned Josh Jacobs. He is exceptional. But as you mentioned, on a one-year deal, assuming they don't open the checkbook and pay him, which looks like kind of a limited wisdom move these days in the NFL, they're going to have to find a replacement because, again, they don't have anybody waiting in the wings that has his talent level to run the ball.
EJ Snyder, Bootleg Football, is our guest here on Raider Nation Radio, 920 Unnecessary Roughness. So as far as getting out of the kind of the stuck in the mud, stuck in the middle zone to getting to be one of the top tier teams, how much more difficult is it being on the AFC side of things than the NFC, where it looks like all the big time quarterbacks are on the AFC side?
It's funny. It depends on how much emphasis you really put on that super weapon at quarterback. If you say we have to have that or we just can't compete any other way, it's going to be tough. Those guys don't grow on trees. There's not enough of them to go around. But having a young quarterback on a very cost-controlled contract like Aiden, if you think you can make a run with him, any kind of run, that's a huge advantage in the NFL because then, again, you can spend those resources somewhere else. So, you know, I think if as of last year, if we looked at the AFC, it would have been like, oh, man, this is an incredibly tough hill to climb. Some of those powers have, you know, folded a little bit this year. Looking at the Bills, Josh Allen has played pretty well, but the team hasn't, you know, done as well as we would have expected. It looks like there might be a little bit more opening for a team like the Raiders in their second year under, if they choose to, you know, go forward with AP as the coach, to, you know, bring that energy, bring that familiarity, add some real impact pieces and make a run and get in and make a playoff push as early as next year.
Do you think that Coach Antonio Pierce, who again is holding the interim tag right now, can be a guy that they can move forward with, him and Aiden O'Connell, kind of a 1-2 punch?
It'll be interesting. You mentioned the last five games at the top of this, and I think those are really important. For some teams, they're sort of a foregone conclusion. Teams like the Panthers, I mean, they'll be looking for effort, but in terms of the coaching staff, those guys are probably moving on, so it's not that big a deal. For a guy like Antonio Pierce, this is his interview. Can you continue to push the team? Yes, you sort of unlocked and brought energy, but you need to have more than that. You need to have second-half adjustments. You need to win a couple of close games. And if you look at the schedule for the Raiders in the remaining five, they could win three out of those five. I think they could take it to the Vikings. They can probably take it to the Chargers. And right now I'd say they've got an even shot at taking it to the Colts. Even the Colts are playing really well. Chiefs are going to be a tough mountain to climb, and the Broncos are playing really well right now too. But if they come out of the last five, 3-2, that's a pretty good resume builder for Antonio Pierce.
You know, one of the things I said was that if the Raiders could finish off the season similar to what the Lions did a year ago, where they didn't make the playoffs, but they showed what they could be, that's going to be a really good sign for him and the team moving forward. Do you look at that kind of maybe that's the barometer of can you finish strong like the Lions did a season ago?
I think you need to, because I think if you live to the finish here and it looks like you were unprepared, I mean, it's one thing to come play well and just get beat by a superior team. I think owners and general managers will realize, hey, we don't necessarily have the talent of those teams, but the guys played hard, they ran it, they played smart football, the coaches put them in good positions to succeed. If they're able to do that for the last five, yeah, I think they can look at it next year and feel really confident about rolling forward with it. If that doesn't happen, if there are coaching mistakes, if there are big lapses in effort, mental mistakes, tons of penalties, you know, and you lose, say, four out of five of those games, it's going to be a lot. There's going to be a lot more tough questions asked after the season.
EJ Snyder, Bootleg Football, is our guest here on Raider Nation Radio 920, Unnecessary Roughness. Just got a couple more questions for you. How do the Raiders go about maximizing the talent that is Devontae Adams?
Again, I think you need to get somebody to compliment him on the other side that can take some pressure off him. If you look at top wide receivers around the league, you know, they do well no matter what because they're a top wide receiver. They do better when there is another threat on the other side of the field, a pass-catching threat. Doesn't necessarily have to be another wide receiver. I mean, you look at the Ravens and they've got Mark Andrews. I mean, not right now. He's injured, but right. Typically they've had him as a primary pass-catching threat. And it takes pressure off your other star, your other wide receiver. So I don't really care if it's a top tight end like a Brock Bowers, because that would be a really cool 1-2 punch for the Raiders. They'd run a lot of two tight end sets with Bowers and Mayer if that happens, or another sort of 1A or sort of 1B alpha wide receiver, not necessarily the top of the league, but somebody that can command attention from the defense on every play. That just makes defenses make choices using their best defenders. Hey, we can't double Devontae every play, or this other guy is going to make us pay.
You mentioned Michael Mayer. I was excited when the Raiders got him in the second round. I was surprised he wasn't a first-round guy. What do you expect from Mayer, a guy who's starting to get a little bit more burn with the Raiders?
I think exactly what you said. He's starting to get a little bit more burn, and I think it's a guy like Aiden coming in and going, hey, man, this is a really good player. Aiden's tight end out of college got drafted, but I'm sure he took a look at Mayer and went, look, this guy was a man among boys. He looked like he could play when he was 18 years old at Notre Dame, so of course he's good. And then just throws him the ball because he was getting open. And that necessarily wasn't happening with Jimmy G. So I think that's been a really good sort of unlock for the Raiders. Again, somebody they picked high, had great expectations for, had a bit of a slower start. And then when they made the change in coaching and quarterbacking, all of a sudden, it looks like they've unlocked him a little bit, and that lets them know, okay, we've got a guy that's a starter going forward. We don't necessarily have to reinvest. We didn't miss. And that's a great, like you said, barometer for the Raiders.
Got a text question about Jaden Daniels. Wanted me to ask you your thoughts on Jaden Daniels out of LSU, what he could bring to the table, and how early do you think he's going to be off the board?
Jaden Daniels is going to go really early, much earlier than people think. Dane Brugler just opened up his first mock draft of the season with Jaden Daniels in the top 10. That surprised a lot of people, did not surprise me. I watched a lot of Jaden Daniels last year, and then early in this college season, I watched about three games in a row from him, which is a little odd for me. I don't usually do that much tape watching early in the season. I save that till really about now and then start on it hardcore once we're sort of past all the emotion of the college season. But I just happened to be in front of the TV for three of Jaden Daniels' early games and really saw a lot of growth from him in the passing game, in his command, in his calmness in the pocket. And then later in the season, again, he really sort of turned on the athleticism and showed that he is a true two-way threat. But, man, it starts with arm with him. Yes, he's got great wide receivers, but if you look at the decisions and the timing he made, when people really start to dig in on Jaden Daniels, if they've sort of preformed an opinion in earlier years, that opinion is going to change when they dig into the LSU tape. He is super impressive. I imagine he wins the Heisman, and I would be surprised if he was not a top 10 pick in the NFL draft.
Yeah, no, I think he's going to go very high as well. I love what he's able to do there at LSU, and he was fantastic, and his tape speaks for itself. There's no doubt about that. Well, EJ, we'll close out with this. Again, we started out talking about NFL purgatory. For the Raiders to start to claw their way out of that purgatory, what do you think will be the most important thing for them either to do this offseason or identify this offseason?
Ooh, the identify is a good one in terms of who they're going to pay, and it starts with questions with players like Josh Jacobs, who's been a very good Raider and is, in my opinion, in the top tier of backs in the league, but plays a position where they have questions. So are we going to spend the money there, or are we going to, you know, not, and then are we going to push that money to someplace like wide receiver and prioritize that, or defensive line? I really think it's one of those two. Those are positions you're going to have to pick up high to get the kind of impact player that we're talking about for the Raiders. We're not talking about wide receiver three or four. We're really talking about a true wide receiver two that could even maybe possibly step up as a one, or another edge threat that's going to immediately command attention and free up Crosby from some of those double and even triple teams he's seen.
Fantastic stuff. Really good stuff. And, man, I got to compliment you again on that YouTube show that I was checking out over the weekend on Bootleg Football, just talking about NFL purgatory and how you guys went through each and every team, including the Raiders. I thought that was some really good stuff. EJ, what are you working on, man, that we should be on the lookout for?
Well, we're cranking out three pieces of content a week on Bootleg. You can find that over on the YouTube channel at Bootleg Football. So we've got a podcast in the first part of the week. We've got our Thursday night live streams for every Thursday night game, and then we've got a sort of preview pod that comes out later in the week. We've really started shifting towards the playoff picture at this point, really talking about how teams are setting themselves up either for a playoff run or draft positioning, one of the two. That's kind of the two camps in the NFL right now. But we're cranking all that stuff out, and you can find it over on YouTube on Bootleg Football.
Yeah, you guys are doing a hell of a job, man. Again, hats off to you. Thanks so much for your time this afternoon. We definitely appreciate you.
Hey, thanks for having me on again, Keith. It's always a good time.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Great stuff. EJ Snyder, fantastic work. Bootleg Football at Football EJ on Twitter. You want to check him out. And, of course, all his YouTubes on Bootleg Football. Him and his partner do a fantastic job and really was fascinated by the work I was checking out over the weekend, and which made me reach out to him and say, hey, I need to get you on the guest on the show talking all things silver and black. So many thanks to EJ. We definitely appreciate him. 318 is the time. We're here at the Underground Lounge inside the Oyo Hotel and Casino. 702-365-9200. It's the same number for both. The text line, the don'tbebroke.com text line, and the phone line. And we'll use that phone line right now. Go out to Henderson, my guy, Family Dad. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind, brother?
Hey, Q. Good to talk to you, man. I at work, I get to listen to you all the time, and I can't ever call in. Just want to touch on a couple of things. First, on the college thing with Florida State, I want to tell you, I'm a Florida State fan, been a Florida State fan for 30 years. Here's the thing about Florida State. Without a quarterback, they couldn't compete. When they want the four best teams to be in there, I agree with that, but I do have my own opinion on the Texas beating Alabama in the early part of the year and Georgia losing to Alabama when Alabama's hitting on all the cylinders. I myself feel, and I probably piss off a lot of people from Texas, but I think Georgia should be in there instead of Texas. That's my opinion. If you want the four best teams playing the best they can, and that's all I'll say on that point, but the four teams going to 12 teams, I think, is the best thing could happen to college, at least to be fair, and you won't have those four teams always every year in the playoffs.
Right. Agreed.
Yeah, but as far as the Raiders, my Raiders, man, I've been a Raiders fan for 55 years, as you know.
Yep.
There's a Hondo story in Sports Illustrated of every Raider fan should read. Unbelievable story, and if you had a chance to read it, please read that. We're talking about Ziegler, what he wanted to do with the team in McDaniels was overruling him, how he wanted to get Stroud and keep Sidham and also Bissett pick him up to be the guys and build the offense and defensive lines. Would have been a smart way to go, and where would we be right now? Hindsight is always easy to do, but Chip Kelly was always involved in all those things too, and I think if we wind up keeping AP and Chip Kelly, I think that would be a winning thing, or Harbaugh, he'll bring his own GM. But to get back to the team now, Chip Kelly, I think, is going to be a great GM if he stays with us. But O'Connell, I like the kid. The only thing that I'm concerned with about him, he can do all the stuff, but he can't run. And in the AFC, especially in our division, I think that's what's going to hurt us. And with all these quarterbacks coming out this year, 6 to 8 of them coming out, I tell you, you know, this Jalen Daniels, he's a great guy too. I think you almost have to go up a little bit if that's what it's going to take to get one of these guys. And I just think it's going to have to change the whole team. You know what I mean? O'Connell could be our backup quarterback forever, but he just doesn't have the legs. What do you think?
Yeah, hey, thanks for the call. Definitely appreciate you. You're talking about Champ Kelly. I was like, Champ Kelly was the coach at Oregon. But, yeah, Champ Kelly, really good dude. He's the interim GM right now. I'd love to see him stay on. I think he's a very good, sharp football mind. I know he's well-respected around the NFL, and I think that he could do some really good things with the silver and black. Look, my preference, I've made no bones about my preference when it comes to a quarterback. I would like someone that's more mobile. I really would. I felt like, you know, you saw what you saw with Derek Carr, and there was a time in his career when he was really willing to use his legs, and then he broke his ankle, and then he wasn't willing to use his legs as much. And so I think that that kind of held him back from being more successful than he was, but that's a conversation for another day. My preference, if it's not going to be Aiden O'Connell, I hope that the next quarterback is mobile. You know, and if they feel like that they could build off Aiden O'Connell, and similar to what EJ said, it might be a whole nother year. They might not go and get their quarterback of the future right now, right? They might say, you know what, let's build this team up. We've seen a lot from Aiden O'Connell. We think we could build around him. Let's see what he's got for another full year, a whole offseason, a new playbook, everything, and kind of let him know that this is his team and then let him go from there. They very well might do that, and he might prove to be the dude. I mean, EJ just rolled out a bunch of good numbers that have to do with Aiden O'Connell. There's obviously room to grow, but he's a rookie. I don't expect him to be perfect. There ain't none of them out there that are going to be perfect. You know, I mean, even C.J. Stroud, as much as we're singing his praises, like he could have put the who were they playing yesterday? Denver, right? They could have put Denver out of their misery early. Misses a wide open wide receiver, overthrows him. He's out there running by himself. He threw the ball like I would, like just completely off, completely off target, right? I mean, he just didn't have a chance. So I mean, look, he's got room to grow. Everyone is going to have room to grow when they're young in the league. So they might go in the direction of, hey, we like what we've seen from Aiden. We want to see more, so we're going to give him next season. But if they decide that that's not the direction that they want to go, I prefer, again, just my preference, is a guy that's definitely more mobile, a guy that can move around and create something with his legs. I mean, even last night, I know the Chiefs lost. But even Patrick Mahomes being willing to just move the pocket a little bit just opens up so much more, right? You can see him start to run towards the line of scrimmage, and all of a sudden someone's breaking open. Then, boom, there you go. He can hit a pop pass. Saw C.J. Stroud do a little bit of that as well against Denver. You know, again, got a chance to see a lot of football yesterday with no Raider game, so it was a lot of fun to see that. But I just feel like that's kind of the way things should go, the way the quarterback position is trending towards. But if they can find a way to get it done with Aiden O'Connell standing in the pocket and they just build a solid offensive line around him, then, you know, then that's good too. Then they can move that way as well. I'm okay with that. Let's go out to Sacramento, the 916. Let's talk to our guy, Raider Greg. What's on your mind? Welcome to the show.
Hey, Q, brother. Hope all's well for you and the family, my friend.
Yes, sir.
For me, the goals that I see for the Raiders right now, I want to see them win at least 3 of these 5 games. I mean, of course, you know, we want to go on a 5-0 run. That would be ideal, but I think realistically 3 of these 5 games is what I want to see. I want to see that the penalties stay low, 3 or less, like Coach said. I want to see that for the rest of the season. I want to see Aiden protect the ball, no turnovers. I'm looking to see no turnovers for the rest of these games. But I kind of agree with the caller before. I mean, the lack of mobility, I mean, I like Aiden. I really do. And it would be ideal for the Raiders if they didn't have to – if they could keep him and build up the offensive line and the rest of the team. But I agree, in the AFC West, pass rushers is there's so many of them.
Right.
Right, in the AFC right. In general. So it kind of makes it hard to succeed. If you look at a lot of the quarterbacks that are succeeding in the AFC West, all of them got a little wiggle to them. Now, I'm not saying that Aiden, I mean, it might be something he can work on and, you know, just be able to at least be shifty in the pocket. I mean, that could help, but I agree with that. And I just want to see the defense continue to turn the ball over. I think just that carrying to the rest of the year, just continuing to turn the ball over, be more of a bend, don't break, and keeping those turnovers up. That's what I would like to see. But I got to push on one thing. You always have great guests. But I got to push on one thing that EJ said.
Okay.
He kept saying that the Raiders need another receiver. And is the guy not watching Jakobi Meyers? Because if you look at next-gen stats, one thing I'm going to say, if you're an elite receiver, it doesn't matter who's on that other side. I mean, look at the Bengals, even when they had Tyler Boyd and all these guys. Chase is still getting double-teamed. Justin Jefferson, whoever he's got on the other side, DK Metcalf, these guys still get double-teamed, okay? And Jakobi Meyers, if you want to look at the numbers and go to next-gen stats, he's ranked higher than a few guys. Brandon Ayuk, he's kind of good. He's ranked higher than him. DeAndre Hopkins, he's ranked higher than him. Tank Dell, I know he's hurt now, but he's ranked higher than him. DK Metcalf, he's ranked higher than him. So, I mean, we got a 1B there. There's a top receiver. That's not the top goal. I was waiting for him to say, build up the offensive line. Maybe I didn't hear it. Maybe he did say it. I agreed with a lot of the stuff he said, but let's not act like Jakobi Meyers is a slouch. Jakobi Meyers is a dog over there. But when you have an elite receiver, it doesn't matter who you have on the other side. He's still going to get all the attention. So thank you for taking my call. I appreciate you, too. I had to push back on that, though, my friend.
No, it's all good. Good stuff. And, yeah, I heard him talking about Jakobi Meyers. And it's funny, on the show that he did, the Bootleg Football, they were talking about Jakobi Meyers. And they were just talking about getting another wide receiver to really compliment Devontae. And, you know, similar to what the Bengals, how they have a three-headed, four-headed monster. And maybe Trey Tucker could be that guy. Maybe Hunter Renfro is that guy, right, moving forward. Who knows? So there's a lot to kind of break down and decide, but I understand exactly where you're coming from. Let's get one more quick call, and then we'll take a break. Matter of fact, Quick, welcome to the show. What's on your mind, Quick?
Q-Ball, what it do?
What it do, my man? Chilling.
Hey, I'm chilling, bro. So, wow, here we are again talking about Aiden. Guys, y'all got to understand he's a backup. We want him to be a backup. That's exactly what he is. You're asking for mobility and shiftiness. He's 26 years old. When is he going to develop that? He hadn't developed that yet. What I'd like to see is AP and these guys coach and play like their backs are against the wall, because they should be. I don't see a world where wholesale changes aren't made, at least from a coaching standpoint. We keep Champ great, but that's the one thing that I'll continue to harp on when I call here and say that we have to keep Champ, because it feels like we'll be taking a major step back as far as team needs, team makeup. We clearly have something brewing. I think we all feel that way, that the team is not talentless like it has been in the past, but how it goes together and how it's put together will really matter. So I'm looking to see these guys play with their backs against the wall and coach like their back is against the wall and maybe come out of some of that shell with AP. Hey, Q-Ball, I'm at you later, brother. Peace.
Hey, man, great call. It's always good to hear from you, Quick. Definitely appreciate you. And, yeah, you've been very steady with saying that Aiden O'Connell is a backup quarterback, and that's okay, right? That's what I thought he was when he was drafted. And, you know, with the caveat saying – I'm willing to see what he can do, and I'm still willing to see what he can do. And there's been moments where you've seen some good stuff. There's been moments where you question it. He's a young dude, but like you said, I mean, he is 26, so when is he going to develop the mobility? I mean, look, guys are who they are, right? I mean, he's not going to become all of a sudden a world-class sprinter, right? I mean, you're absolutely right about that. He's not going to all of a sudden decide that he's going to run around the yard. It's just either you got that in you or you don't, and that's kind of the gene that I'm looking for, me personally. But again, that's if they feel like that they can't move forward with Aiden O'Connell, and he could be the guy that could take them where they want to go into the playoffs and make a deep run. Really good call. Again, threw the question out there on the don'tbebroke.com text line at 702-365-9200. That's the same number for the call-in line and the text line now. What do you believe the short-term goals should be for the Raiders? Short-term meaning the next five games. And what should the long-term goal be? Long-term being the offseason as well as heading into training camp in 2024. Let us know about it. Again, 702-365-9200. We're in the Underground Lounge inside the Oyo Hotel and Casino. Of course, we got a lot of great specials going on. And it's funny, they just had their social media lady in front of the table, and she was waiting for me to tell everybody what's going on here in the Underground Lounge. And I didn't because we were talking to different guests or we were talking to different listeners. And then she walks away. And then all of a sudden it's that opportunity for me to say what's going on here at the Underground Lounge. So my bad. I feel bad that I messed up the protocol apparently. But this is the spot to be. Vegas Jess is here. Jason's here. All we need is you. Got plenty of prizes for you, including T-shirts. We got cups. We got koozies. We've got the exclusive, the bottle opener. You've got to have the Raider Nation Radio 920 bottle opener. Get them while they're hot, and they are hot. Like fresh off the press is hot. You got to have one in your collection. Maybe even two if I'm not looking. I'm just saying. But come on by. Say what's up. We're going to get you taken care of with Raider Nation Radio 920.
This podcast version of Unnecessary Roughness on LVSportsNetwork.com is brought to you by PortaSubs. Make sure you check out PortaSubs 6-foot party trays. They're perfect for game days. You'll get your choice of 3 made-to-order classic subs made with premium meats and cheese on your choice of fresh baked bread, loaded with fresh veggies, toppings, and sauces. Game day 6-foot trays serve 12 to 16 people, so you can sit back and enjoy the game. Available at all Las Vegas area PortaSubs, neighborhood sandwich shops, order ahead at PortaSubs.com.
Absolutely. It's not even close. Today's game, you want to look at explosives. Can you create them on offense and can you prevent them on defense? They're plus 49 against their opponent. Nobody in the league is close to that. So they play phenomenal on offense and they're phenomenal on defense. This is a team that has no weaknesses. And so to me, it's not close.
You're listening to Unnecessary Roughness, live at the Underground Lounge inside the Oyo Hotel and Casino.
We are back at the Underground Lounge, Oyo Hotel and Casino. We do this each and every Monday night for Monday Night Football. Bengals and Jaguars will be on the TVs later on this evening. That was Rex Ryan talking about the best team in the NFL after San Francisco put a whooping on the Philadelphia Eagles. To my surprise, didn't think that it was going to be a blowout. I knew it was going to be a close game. Well, I thought it was going to be a very competitive game. Let's put it like that. But, man, the 49ers really pulled out the whooping stick on the Eagles last night, and very surprised by that outcome, the way it looked. But there you go. So there's going to be some good conversations about who's the best team in the NFL, and obviously the 49ers have made their case. But we are here as we are each and every Monday night, and threw the question out there. Would love to hear from you at 702-365-9200. What do you believe the short-term goals should be for the Raiders? Short-term meaning the next 5 games. And what should the long-term goals be? Meaning, obviously, the year, the offseason, and if you want to go beyond, you can do that as well. Like Robin Oakland did on the don'tbebroke.com text line. Long-term goals, win the division and win the Super Bowl. Why can Green Bay beat Kansas City and we still can't touch them? We need better personnel and strategy to control KC's offense, including reassessing Patrick Graham. I'm concerned Reed has us outcoached. Our running backs underproduce explosive plays, and today's NFL almost demands a running threat at the quarterback position, even if on the bench like Taysom Hill. We need help in both trenches and need to find a way to use more of Devontae's talents. Short-term, I keep Champ for continuity and scouting and wait to see how AP finishes. I let Bo and Aiden work in the next 5 games and ask trusted offensive consultants to break down their performances. Impact acquisitions are rare at this point in the season. Ultimately, the long-term goals may not be altered much by what happens in the short term. We need better players and better coaching strategy to win what we want to win. That's from Rob in Oakland. Really good stuff. Raider James said, hey, Q. Raider James, to retain the integrity of the league, a rule should exist where if any NFL team that has been found and proven to purposely tank for higher draft positions should lose their first-round pick. I feel like the Patriots may be riding that fine line by sitting Jones. Fans need to understand how tanking can impact the balance of the league. And that's always going to be a question. And we always hear the hashtags, the suck for luck, the, you know, tank for Tua, the whatever it was, the cute hashtag or cute little phrase it was for Herbert and all that situation. There's always going to be some kind of angling, not necessarily by the players. The players aren't going to sit there and tank. The players are out there trying to win games. But there's always some kind of angling, similar to what Raider James mentioned about sitting Mac Jones. The problem is that you can't even say that that's a tank move because he's been so bad. He's been so bad that it's not even really like, oh, well, we're going to sit down our starting quarterback. Okay, well, he's been terrible. The backup's terrible. The whole team's terrible. You know, Bill Belichick's going to be gone after this year. Like, I mean, the even think that we're talking about that conversation right there, that we're talking about Bill Belichick being gone is wild, right? I mean, who would have thought? But that's the situation that we're in. So, yeah, I mean, it's hard to actually just roll out and say, well, that team is clearly tanking, because more times than not, these teams don't want to – these teams, the players in the locker room, are not trying to lose. This one's from Raider Dad Bod. Greetings, gentlemen. Short term, we need to have the team play with their hair on fire as if their playoff lives depend on it, which they, in fact, they do. They need to compete all four quarters of all five remaining games. Long term, please, please, please shore up that offensive line, because no matter what you put under center or who you put under center, he won't survive with an unreliable offensive line. That's from Raider Dad Bod. I'm not mad at that at all, and that's something that I agree on 100%. You've got to bolster up that offensive line. It's got to be fixed, right? And you know, I thought it was a little irresponsible that it wasn't addressed more in the offseason when they had an opportunity to, when they could have gone out there and spent some money on a big-time offensive lineman. And there was some out there that was to be had, and they didn't go get him. And it kind of concerned me, and this is no disrespect, and he'll probably look at me sideways when I see him in the locker room. I kind of thought it was not a good sign when Jermaine Illuminor was one of the first ones that re-signed and said that me and Colton Miller are going to be the best bookend tackles in the league. I thought, okay, because I like Jermaine, but again, I like him in a role where he's more of the swing tackle. I think he's really good at that, sliding in when need be and being that guy. And he can slide into multiple positions. Like, you need to have that guy. I just don't know if he's a dude that needs to be, you know, the guy there all the time. But they should have addressed that, and they didn't address it. So then he ended up being that guy. And, again, he's done a decent job. And really, when he had to slide in for Colton Miller, that was pretty impressive that he was able to do it at the level he was. But I just thought that they should have really gone out there and addressed that. And that should have been one of the big priorities of the offseason. It just wasn't. So there's that. Got some more texts that I'm trying to get to real quick at 702-365-9200. This one is, let's see. Hold on. We got a bunch of them here. I got to change pages. That's the one thing. I found the one thing about this text line that I don't like. I got to change pages. Let's see. What else? Vegas Pete. Q, do you have enough hair to cut every week? Packer. I do. Packers made Chiefs look like chumps. Raiders get a chance to get back in the wild card with these two games in the next 10 days. So let's start pillaging just for fun. I like that one. And then this other one came from Eric. Where'd it go? Here it is. What's up, Q? If the Raiders can win the next two games, they're right back in the playoff mix. Going into Arrowhead Christmas Day, let's not write them off just yet. Go Raiders. That's Eric in the 619. Let's see. Another one comes from Rob. The Las Vegas Raiders have only one answer, literally one. That's it. It's Jim Harbaugh. AP is clearly not the answer. Cigars, dancing, hoops in the locker room after crappy wins in November. Give me a break. The media said it best. The players are now running the show. That's on AP. Also, stop it with Aiden O'Connell as our future quarterback. He's not ours or anyone's future quarterback. Fact, not fiction. That's Rob Johnson, a very positive Rob there on that text message right there. So, hopefully the sun is out wherever you're at, Rob. We do appreciate the text message. That came in as dark as possible, and everything was bad according to Rob. But, hey, man, it is what it is. I appreciate the feedback as always, and you can keep that going. It's at 702-365-9200 and, of course, the don'tbebroke.com text line, which is the same number, 702-365-9200. Let's go out to the phone lines. Talk to our guy, Hardcore Raider. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Thank you. Hopefully you're doing good, brother.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
All right. So the offensive line, I mean, you know, if you look at good offensive lines, it feels like, you know, I don't want to say we had a great offensive line when Richie Incognito was on our team, but he definitely at least got the team fired up, you know. Like, who is our Lincoln Kennedy on this offensive line? Like, Colt Miller is good, but mm-hmm. he's not, like, a vocal leader. We don't have – you look at our offensive line, we do not have the leader, like, that guy that's going to lead this crew, as much as I like Colton Miller. So that's a huge missing piece to this team. The short-term, long-term goals, for me, it should always be to make the playoffs. Anything less than making the playoffs and winning at least the playoff game is a failure. That's a long stretch at this point. I'm not, like, packing it up yet, but right. Us making the playoffs is probably slim picking. So then, in that case, I think we got to, you know, set Aiden O'Connell free. Like, just give him as much as we can, fill his plate up, and see how he handles it and see how he finishes the season out. And then long term, if he's not the guy, then the question becomes, who's going to be the guy? Are we going to use a lot of draft capital to move up? I mean, for me, like, one of my takes might be a long shot, but, you know, I wanted Hendon Hooker, and he's probably healthy. He's sitting on the sideline. The Lions look pretty set with the quarterback they got right now, and they might be willing to trade Hendon Hooker. So, you know, there's other options besides just this draft that there might be guys available and possibly a couple veteran quarterbacks. But I guess my main question, besides throwing that out there, is as far as the Raiders and what I want to call like the Al Davis legacy, like what do we want the Raiders to look like in 2 years, 5 years, ten years, and what coach is going to implement either what it means to be a Raider or like carry the Al Davis torch on? Because I think that's important no matter who the coach is that understands the Raider legacy, and they're going to continue that. And some of the names being thrown out there, I don't know if they fit that pedigree.
Right. Hey, thanks for the call. Appreciate you. And I'll tell you right now, some of the names that are being thrown out there are being thrown out there recklessly. I'll just go ahead and say that. There's just some names that feels like folks are just grabbing, reaching for straws and reaching, just throwing in, going, grabbing something out of the bag and throwing it up against the wall and hoping it sticks. Some of the names are just absolutely ridiculous. I try to talk about it all the time, and I'm not trying to talk about anybody's reporting skills, but some of it is not even really reporting. It's just more like guessing and just throwing some stuff out there to get some kind of reaction. And I don't think that that's a healthy way to go. I really don't. You're not going to get that kind of stuff on this show. You won't. And you shouldn't get this kind of stuff on this show or this station at all. Like, that's not what we're all about. We're not just going to go and speculate on some wild behind type stuff just to say it's out there and say you did it. I think that that doesn't make any kind of sense, but obviously I'm in the minority when it comes to some of that conversation, but there's that. So I don't comment on a lot of people's stories or whatever out there because a lot of them are stories, and if I know the truth of the matter, then I'll speak on it. If not, I'll just kind of leave it alone. But I do know for a fact that some of the stuff that's out there right now is beyond ridiculous, and it's just – and it'll be addressed at some point. It just, you know, it kind of is what it is. So thanks so much for that. I do appreciate the call, and we'll see what happens. You know, obviously Antonio Pierce, you mentioned the question. I thought that was a great question. Who's going to embody what it means to be a Raider and all that and that Al Davis legacy? I tell you, there's a guy that's the head coach right now that would definitely do it, right? I mean, look, I don't know what the long-term future is for Antonio Pierce. He doesn't either, as he mentioned last week when we talked to him, that he knows his time is running out. But whatever it ends up, at the end of the day, he's always going to be better from this experience that he's had. But, man, if there's a guy that embodies what it means to be a Raider, it's that dude, if nothing else. So, you know, I don't know who's going to end up being the full-time coach. None of us do. Obviously, names will start rolling out probably after the season. That will make a lot more sense. But right now, a lot of the stuff that's being thrown out there is just that, stuff that's being thrown out there. Thanks so much for the call. 3:46 is the time. We'll take a quick break. We'll come back. We'll get to Bernard. We'll close out hour number two, and we'll talk to LeVar Arrington, Jason's guy. LeVar Arrington will join us at the top of the hour to talk all things Coach Antonio Pierce. It's Raider Nation Radio, 920.
Now back to Unnecessary Roughness, live at the Underground Lounge inside the Oyo Hotel and Casino.
On to the next. Shout out to Jay-Z. Happy birthday. How old is Jay-Z today?
54.
He's 54. Wow. Jay-Z, 54. Nice. I'm not mad at him. Happy birthday to the young Jay-Z. 54 years old. Got hits on top of hits on top of hits. On top of hits, on top of hits. And on to the next will be next hour when we're joined at the top from LeVar Arrington, former NFL linebacker, part of Fox Sports now. Of course, two pros and a cup of Joe. We'll talk all things Antonio Pierce coming up at the top of the hour. But let's go out to the phone lines real quick at 702-365-9200. Talk to our good friend Bernard. Welcome to the show, Bernard. What's on your mind?
Hey, Q, great show. It's kind of tough, you know, in the Bay Area, man. So all radio talk down here is, you know, just 49ers. So
of course.
Kind of sickening.
No, that's right.
Hey, real quick on the Hondo Carpenter story. I heard a caller bring that up. I did read that, but I clearly remember Dave Ziegler, and I used at that press conference too. He made it clear that he had final decisions on personnel. So I don't want to hear nothing about him being overridden about what he wanted to do personnel rise, because that's water under the bridge now. But he clearly said he makes choices on personnel.
Yep.
So you know how it happened when people get fired. Oh, I would have did this. I would have did that. So
right.
I don't want to hear that. Short term future, Q. I just want to see our young players, you know, start showing what they have to see if we're gonna keep them or move on. And I'm talking about, you know, Kuntz and Diablo. Let's see what Bennett have. I want to see what these guys have, because I think the biggest thing with the Raiders is just they haven't had any stability. So we can't build a roster build, you know, because every general manager wants something different. So until they stabilize that, I think they just gonna be topsy-turvy in the town. They're going to have a couple of good players here, a couple of good players there, but they're never going to really fully build out their roster because we don't have an identity.
Right.
As soon as we thought we had an identity on offense, now look at now everybody's lost on where the offense was at. And that was the least of my concerns coming into this season. And then long-term, I'm a little concerned with Devontae Adams. The dude is class personified. And when I watch these games, you know, after the Raiders play or whatever, when I see the Stephon Diggs and the CeeDee Lamb, and I see he's better than all those guys. And the teams have no problem getting him the ball. But you don't see him, you know, not necessarily cursing, but yelling at the quarterback or the coordinators to get the ball. The dude has so much class, but I know he's getting frustrated because, I mean, I think he's 30 or 31, and he's almost lost as many games in 2 years with the Raiders that he did with his whole career with the Packers. So I just wonder how much more patience, you know, he's going to have. You know, and ironically, Jordan Love is starting to look like a pretty good quarterback. So
yeah.
The Raiders need to get their talent situation together, and until they do that, it's just going to be, you know, up and down. So that's what I want to see them solidify the GM, and then hopefully they can, you know, get the best man out there for a coach. If it's Pierce, cool, but until they get their GM position underway, I don't think they're going to make any progress.
Hey, good stuff, Bernard. Thanks for the call. And yeah, I mean, that's the thing, and that's why I was hoping that the whole McDaniels thing was going to work, because I didn't want to see the team have to press the reset button, because you're absolutely right. You can't get any kind of consistency. You can't get any kind of philosophy there, right? All of a sudden, if you hit the reset button, these players that were good in this system all of a sudden aren't this guy's coach or players. So now you have to get rid of them and bring in some more. So it's always just kind of it's being stuck in the mud, you know, spinning the wheels and then not going anywhere. And that is the last thing you want to do. So, yeah, I'm with you. And, you know, when it comes to Devontae Adams, that's one of the questions. That's why I asked EJ Snyder earlier at 3 o'clock when we were talking from Bootleg Football, like, how do you maximize his talent? Because he is so stinking talented, but he is getting a little bit older. Not that it means his play is dropping off, but the fact that he's going to want to win immediately. So how do you keep him happy where he's not saying, hey, I don't want to be here anymore? I don't want Devontae Adams to go anywhere. He's a phenomenal wide receiver. He's the best wide receiver the Raiders have had in a very long time, and I want him to see him stay there. But I also want to see him happy. I also want to see the ball getting to him and him being able to maximize his talent. He is so stinking talented. All he needs is the ball in his hand. But then at the same time, there's a middle even where it's like, well, you don't want to just force it to him just for the sake of forcing it to him, but you want to get the most out of him. So I think that he has earned – well, I don't think. I know. He has earned the right to have those conversations in the building. Mark Davis talking with him, the coaching staff talking with him, and, you know, he is part of the decision-making as far as the conversation. Not saying he's making decisions, but he's part of the conversation, and he's earned that respect of the organization. I think that that's really good. It's probably something he didn't have in Green Bay because they don't operate like that, but I do think that that is good as far as just kind of what he's doing and the overall makeup of what he's doing. So, Bernard, thanks so much for that call. I do appreciate you. Coming up next, as we're here at the Oyo, the Underground Lounge, we're here every single Monday night. We'll talk to LeVar Arrington. We'll talk all things Antonio Pierce. It's Raider Nation Radio 920.
And thank you so much for listening to the podcast version of Unnecessary Roughness here on LVSportsNetwork.com, brought to you by Porta Subs.